We're so grateful and thankful for all of you that are here this morning. And we hope and pray that God has blessed you already by being here and joining together in these great hymns of praise unto our God. You know, we are thankful that God has blessed us immeasurably. Certainly, we're thankful that God sent Jesus into the world to die for fallen man. And you and I should be rescuing the perishing, as that song suggests. And I hope that we are. I hope that we're reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about seven reasons why you should be saved today. You know, salvation is not the number one thing on everybody's list. A lot of times people put a lot of things in on their agenda before actually asking themselves the question, am I lost or am I right with God? The Bible says today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Not tomorrow, but today. You know, Satan actually, his greatest lie is that there is plenty of time. You'll always have opportunity to obey God. And don't get so excited about doing his will today. There's always another tomorrow. But you know what? According to the Bible, tomorrow is promised to no one. In the book of James, the author made this observation. He says, our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time in the heavens, and then it vanishes away. Let us not say that today or even tomorrow that we will go into the city to buy and sell and get gain. For you know not what shall be on the morrow. And no one knows his future in this life. You know, we'd like to use perhaps maybe AI and maybe some other criteria to determine what's going to happen to us in this life. When will we die? When will our sojourn upon this earth be completed? But we don't know. And the scripture even says in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to look into the crystal ball and to be able to know what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen next week? How many of you would look into the crystal ball if it told you when you were going to die? Do you know that most people would not do that? We know the crystal ball can't depict that either, because we are in the hands of God. And Job was right when he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, what are the seven reasons that you might surmise that would be important for us to consider? I know one thing, according to the Bible, that obedience to God must never, ever be delayed. And you may say, why? Well, number one, here's why you ought to be saved today, is that you are lost today. That is, if you are not a child of God, if you're not a Christian. And in the book of John, the third chapter in verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of Almighty God. And then in the book of Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But Christ tells us affirmatively in the book of Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man, that is Jesus, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if he came to rescue the perishing, then you and I should be working earnestly at trying to rescue the perishing. In 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter and verse 3, Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Have you ever really given a lot of thought to lostness and what it means to be lost and to be banished from the presence of God, to be separated from the life source that we read about in the book of Acts chapter 17? The one whom there is life and liberty, and that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our feelings, our emotions are only temporary. I don't know how many times I hear people say, well, I feel saved. I feel saved, all right. But is it possible, even when you feel saved, that you could still be lost? Well, King Solomon again was right when he said in Proverbs the 14th chapter, he said, you know what? There is a way that appears right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And I'm going to tell you that the way of unrighteousness is to base your relationship with God on temporary emotions. You can be moved emotionally to serve God today, but then you can walk out of this building and refuse to serve Him by obeying the will of God, and you will be separated from Him. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says that the arm of the Lord is not so short that He cannot reach you wherever you are. And He said, your ear is not so heavy that He cannot hear you. And you know what? He said, but your sins have separated you from your God. And our sin does separate us from God. You know what's going to be so awful about hell is to know that we are not in the presence of the one who formed us, created us, and the one we can have fellowship again when life is over here. But you're lost forever. You know, when a man dies out of Jesus Christ, he is lost. And if you're banking on more time, I'm telling you, friend, there is no promise of tomorrow. Just isn't. What a tragedy when sometimes people say, well, it could have been, and you're right. I'm telling you, people will be crying at the throne of God, just like they did at Noah's ark, wanting to get in, but it was too late. Noah had preached year after year after year, trying to persuade people to believe that there is a coming flood that was going to destroy the earth and all mankind except those God has chosen. But secondly, you ought to be saved today because you may have a serious illness or accident today. You know, there are people that die every day. They do. And a lot of those people that die are banking on another tomorrow. But they didn't know that they were going to get sick. They didn't know they were going to have a heart attack. They didn't know that they were going to develop cancer. They didn't know that driving home, even from a worship service, that they would have an accident and be killed or someone in the car with them. And it happens all the time. For you don't know what a day brings forth, Proverbs 27. So don't boast about tomorrow. Don't tell me about what you're banking on tomorrow or even beyond. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week. You don't keep putting it off. If it happened to you today, where would you live eternally? If that were your accident, and it happens all the time. A lot of people say, well, that's not going to happen to me. It could. It happens to people all the time. I don't know how many sermons or lessons that I have preached at funeral services for people that died in automobile accidents. A lot of them. That we're banking on another day, just one more day that never, ever came. It didn't happen. What if you suffered a heart attack or a stroke? Where would you be? Where would you be? If it took you out of this life, I'm not talking about having a heart attack and getting over that. I've been there too, and I thank God that He's blessed me. Had the bout with cancer, and I'm glad and thankful unto God that He has blessed me. But I'm talking about people who have terminal cancer, and I'm talking about people who have a terminal stroke that took you out of this world. Where would you be? Would you live eternally with God? You don't know what today or tomorrow may hold. You may be in the back of an ambulance this afternoon heading to Tyler. You could be. And that brings me to the third point. Do you realize you might, and you could, die today? You know, I've been preaching in worship services where someone had a heart attack and fell dead in church. Isn't that amazing? And yet people were banking on one more day, thinking that tomorrow I'll do that, or next week I'll do that. But no man, listen, Job said it best in Job 24:22, that no man is sure of life. We're not. We're not sure of death. In a moment, they all died, Job said in Job 34 and verse 20. In a moment. When God chooses, and you're not going to die till God makes that choice. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But God could act on His own free will and take you out of this world today. Maybe because you've lingered so long. When you know you should have gotten right with God, but you've waited and you waited and you waited, and God sees that in your future you're not making plans with God. You're making plans with the world. You're boasting about what you are going to do. And God's servant was right in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3, that there is but a step between me and death. Just a step. Just one. In Job again, chapter 33 and verse 22, yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave. You may be closer to the grave right now than you have ever been. And right now, you may be closer than you think. This week, we may take your silent body out to the local cemetery to place it within the heart of Mother Earth. Could be today. That's why you get right with God. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Death is referred to as the grim reaper. Grim reaper because it often invades our home. And it snatches away from our family those that we love. You know, sometimes people never ever bring up Christ in a conversation at home. And they always say, well, I'll talk about Jesus next week. Or I'll wait till they get out of school and I'll talk to them about Christ. And you know what? Sometimes it's too late. I have preached memorial services for just about every age, almost. Stillborns, people that were born, died when they were 3 years old, young boy, in this congregation many years ago. They weren't expecting it. I've preached funerals for people in their midlife. Teenagers who died in the middle of the night. I can't begin to tell you how many people that I have been called about who departed from this life very quickly. But that's the nature of death. But if you died today, where would you go? Where would you be? Would you be with God? Or just where would you be? But number four, you know why you ought to be saved today? Because Christ may come today. You know, the Lord God said that He would come again, according to the words of Revelation 1, verse 8 and following. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as their work shall be. Christ could come today. And that's the reason Jesus said in the book of Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man may come. Now, in our fondest imagination, we'd like to orchestrate the coming of Jesus. We'd like to have our life just right with God. We would like to have everything in order, but it doesn't happen that way. That's why Christ said, be ready. You will be forever lost if you are not saved when he comes. And he is coming. He is coming again. And the Bible in Revelation says that every eye shall see him, and they that pierce him, and they that mourned over him. That's the nature of his coming. And fifthly, you should be saved today because God wants you to be saved today. Don't you want what God wants? I want what God wants. I can honestly say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Can you say that? Can you honestly, sincerely say that? Or do you know that you're not a Christian? And you've not been baptized into Christ? And you're not ready. You're not ready. Could you say truthfully today that you would welcome the coming of Christ because God wants you to be saved? You know, sometimes in life we go through a lot of things. And a lot of times in life we search for things that we never find. Many of you remember actor Seymour Hoffman Philip. He didn't find what he was searching for in life. He was found dead in his apartment with a needle in his arm and two bags of heroin. And all of his achievements and all of his stardom was for naught. And let me tell you something, folks. You can't live in the basement and expect to dwell in the balcony when life is over. It is not going to happen. Can't do it. When Zacchaeus received Jesus Christ, Jesus said unto him, come, for salvation has come to your house. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, God, who desires all men, Paul writes, to be saved. God wants you to be saved. Why wouldn't you want what God wants? For people that tell me that they love God, but they don't want what God wants, you don't really love God. But we need to come to the knowledge of truth. There is one God and one man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. And then I like 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 that says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. But number 6, why should you be saved today? You may cross God's deadline today. And I really believe he has a deadline. You know, over the last 2 months, President Trump has been negotiating with the Iranians. And the president says eventually they will cross the red line and there'll be no turning back. You could cross God's deadline today. Maybe God got you here today because he says, I'm going to give you one more chance to get right. I'm going to give you one more opportunity to be baptized. I'm going to give you one more chance to repent of your sins and seek the prayers of the body of Christ. Because you've been waiting for a long time. And you may cross God's deadline today. For he, being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. For when you die, there is no coming back to get things right with Jesus. None. It's over. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, and I honestly believe this. Through the years, I have spoken to people just like I'm speaking to you this morning, who never got right with God. I had to speak at the memorial service. Wasn't a very pleasant thing. Wasn't easy to fight for words about people that you that never became Christians because they waited and they crossed God's deadline. Don't trade God's timing for your deadline. No promise of tomorrow. You're running against time. And it will come to an end. I remember hearing a story one time about a man being in a city where he noticed that the people often resorted to a favorite well out in the parks. The man said to him, "Does the well ever run dry here?" And the man drinking the water out of the well, as he stopped drinking, he smacked his lips. And he said, "They have never been able to pump this well dry yet." He said, "They tried to do it years ago. They filled up fire engines. They tried to do what they could to pump the well dry. But they found one thing, and that is a river was flowing underneath that well." We should thank God today for the well of salvation that will never, ever run dry. If people continue to refuse God's call, there will come a time when He will refuse their call. God said that. And that's why I tell you that tomorrow could be too late. It could. Proverbs 1:24 says, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hands and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all of my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity and I will mock when your fear cometh." And when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall not seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They only despised my reproof. And many today are doing it. As in Romans 1, when Paul writes and says that there were those who changed the truth of God into a lie. And some changed truth by saying, "Don't worry about getting right with God right now. You'll have another day. You'll have another moment, another time, another day on the calendar that never, ever comes." That's changing truth into a lie. Asking God to save you after you die is actually like asking for a parachute when you've already jumped out of a plane. Too late. Too late. And last of all, you ought to be saved today because your soul may be required today. Stories told years ago of Jesus himself. It was about a man who awakened one morning and, being the entrepreneur that he was, he started thinking about how his day was going to go. He was going to try to make it a great day. He got out of bed, he got dressed, planned to go into town. He was going to merchandise, buy, and sell. And all of a sudden, God spake, and he said, "Thou fool, you are a fool." And he tells him why. You left God out of your plans. You won't go into the city to buy and sell and get gain. It's over for you. Over. Zero. And the man died. One man lifted up his eyes from hell, another man who was quite wealthy, in the book of Luke 16. Quite wealthy. His wealth didn't amount to anything. He would have exchanged every dollar that he had for a soul that could go to heaven. But it was too late. He spake this parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow all of my goods and my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods.'" Luke 12. Good intentions. Anything wrong with that? No. Just one. He left God out. "And I will say unto my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' And God said unto him, 'You fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.'" He crossed God's deadline. And then whose will all these things be that you've provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You can't imagine the horror of hell. When you read the Word of God, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're not right with God. You want to be. You don't want to wait. For in hell, there's no hope. No chance of recovery. And Jesus was right in Matthew 10:28. "Be not afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather be afraid of he who can destroy both body and soul in hell." That's why obedience to God must never, ever be delayed. And that's why if you're not a Christian this morning, you ought to be asking this question: what must I do to be saved? And I've conveniently put it on a PowerPoint slide for you to know. God's plan of salvation says that you've got to hear the word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Romans 10 and verse 17. And you've got to believe in Jesus with all of your heart. Romans 3. John, the 14th chapter. John 8 and verse 24. And you've got to confess the name of Christ as your Lord and your Master. Matthew 10, 32. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And be faithful to God. And only then would you be ready for the coming of Jesus, our Lord. Someday they will close the lid on your casket. It will all be over. Isn't it time to give your hand to God? Isn't it time this morning to think seriously and get down to where the rubber meets the road? While we stand and while we sing.